836 at WGCL. Glass in the Morning, thank you for being with us Thursday, July 6th. We don't miss a beat. We keep on rolling, and it's down to the Showers Plaza and City Hall. The deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington is our good friend Mick Renheisen. Mick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Glass. How about yourself?
I'm worn out. It's a short week, but a busy week. Obviously, the parade on Tuesday got us started early, even though we didn't do a little radio. And just wanted to compliment you and the city for throwing a great party on Tuesday morning. I did my part in the forecast. I hope that was recognized by Inman and Keith Klein at the review stand there. We didn't get wet. Wasn't too bad in the shade. Actually, it was nice with the breeze. But a great parade, and thanks to all the security, public service officials, everybody, the public safety officials that helped out with that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. There are a lot of people that are seen and unseen that go behind putting on a major event like that with thousands of people participating. And the one event, as you mentioned, that no one can control is the weather, so it's great when the weather cooperates. We had a wonderful day, and a lot of people got to enjoy the country's 241st birthday celebration.
Does anybody take attendance on that?
The parks people have a way of counting, estimating by the hour. They do it at the farmer's market and give some counts. And I don't have the estimate, but I'll get that because I'm curious as well how many people they thought attended this year's parade.
And I'm a bad point of reference on this because I don't sit in the same spot annually, but where I was on the corner of 7th and Dunn was 4 or 5 deep on each side of the street. So I don't know if that was because of the wonderful shade trees, which obviously could be part of it, but Sue Wanzer talked to us last half hour. She said the route looked pretty solid all the way through. So a great coming together of the community to see all of the floats and entries and everything else. Fun times there. And then I wrapped up my day at the Bryant Park pool with my two fish. And a great day was had by all. So the heater working, didn't need it on the 4th of July, but we took full advantage. And here's a misnomer, Mick. You'd think we were nervous. We think, well, we're going to go to the pool. It's going to be packed. We're not going to have enough room and everything else. Very, very mild crowd there. So if you think, well, I'm not going to do that on the 4th of July, let me tell you, that's not the case. Plenty of room for everybody.
You know, I spent my afternoon of the 4th on the golf course, and
no
surprise. The same way. Now, I think afternoons and a hot afternoon like we had was a little more thinly attended than the things. But I think a lot of people go to the lake and they hang out in their backyards and cook out, and I did that later as well. So I think that there's just so many different things that people choose to do on July 4th. Doesn't surprise me to not have as many people at our pools and
well, yeah. So don't think that it's going to be packed because it's the 4th of July. That might be different at campgrounds or the lake, but
yeah.
maybe not right in your backyard. Now let's get to the important things. How did you hit them?
Well, I've been working on something as golfers are wont to do. You never stay satisfied with how you play. So I had been working on a particular movement, trying to keep my left arm a little bit more straight for those of you who are in the golf psychotic behavior like those of us who get addicted to it can be, and it seemed to work effectively for the most part. I didn't particularly score well for what I...
Well, that's how it always goes.
Range,
you fix something and then something else falls apart.
That is the nature of the sport. That is for sure.
And that's why we keep coming back.
They're off to Greenbrier this week after last year's completely messy flood conditions. I can't
Tragic
wait to see
floods.
It on TV to see how much they've done in a year. It's impressive that they're even able to have the event after the massive floods they had last year.
The Greenbrier Resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, over 15 people lost their lives in historic. The old flood mark on the course was from 1915 or 1916. Last year's flood was 6 feet above that, just to put in perspective what happened there. So the course completely, all the greens are redone, everything else. The Greenbrier Resort's beautiful. Have you ever been there?
I have not, but
neither have I. I'd like to go.
TV pictures of it make it look reminds me a little bit on TV of French Lick.
Yeah, I could see that, absolutely, where it's just kind of, I don't want to say in the middle of nowhere, but we're being kind, it is. And the tie with the history of the bunker for all of the Congress that goes along with that too is it's a pretty neat story how that's where everybody would go in the event of a nuclear disaster just 4 hours up the street from Washington, D.C.
Speaking of French Lick, they have two events coming up.
They do. I saw it in the paper today.
The women's tour, right? The Symetra for...
Yeah, the Futures Tour.
Tour, and then the inaugural event for... what are they calling the senior ladies event that they're having down there that follows it next week.
And that's in French Lick And you can head down to the Donald Ross course on that. So a little bit less of a hike than the Pete Dye course at French Lick.
For sure.
If you've walked that one before, you get a Sherpa. That's how tough that one was. So, yeah, great event right here in our region for that. Speaking of Parks and Rec, it's the summertime. You guys, I was over at the Bryant Park on Saturday, and you're going to start having some concerts I saw on the marquee there. When do those take place? And it looks like this year it's going to be double features, if I remember reading that correctly.
Yeah, they didn't give me the forecast for the future events at Bryant Park today. I was going to tell you one. It's July is National Parks and Recreation Month. You
excellent.
And your family are great users of the park system in Bloomington, as are thousands, tens of thousands of other people who enjoy the local parks, and it's great to celebrate what parks are all about during this month. There's a lot of things going on that are upcoming over the course of the weekend and next week I want to touch on, and then I'll get to that information that you want to talk about for the future series coming up as well at Bryant Park. But this Friday, tomorrow, is the last performing arts series show of the season at the Waldron Hill and Buskirk Park. That's what most people would call Third Street Park. And what a great entertainer we have for Friday. It's Jen Christie. I don't know how many of you know Jen or have heard Jen play, former IU Big Ten swimmer. But an outstanding musician. She'll be playing from 6:30 to 8:30 Friday, July 7th at Waldron Hill and Buskirk Park. Remember, that's free, so go enjoy the last concert of the year. And sure enough, in this little note, it says the Bryant Park concerts start on Sunday, July 16th, with back-to-back shows by Craig and the Crawdads and Celtica. So Craig and the Crawdads and Celtica, as you indicated, back-to-back on Bryant Park on Sunday, July 16th. So the last one at Waldron Hill and Buskirk, followed by
we're just
going
to move
Park
over.
Series.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you
another park.
Yep, move from Fridays to Sundays, and that's nice because it wraps up your week. And hope and Shade is where they put those concerts on. I know that for sure. So that's,
and you know, Saturday's Farmers Market Saturday, and this week happens to be a Fair of the Arts week as well. So from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. along in conjunction with the Farmers Market, we'll have the opportunity for people to display and folks to buy unique and beautiful works of art at the Fair of the Arts, and then pick up your best locally grown produce for your dinner that night. So those two things going on this weekend. And then on Sunday, the Farmers Market's actually hosting two local farms plus a farm to fork dinner on Sunday, July 9th. Today is the registration deadline if you're interested in those. And you can reserve a seat to tour the Blue Hour Farm and the Marvel Hill Farm, and to enjoy a delicious meal prepared by local chefs.
Yeah, and I think they've done this before, I believe. I remember hearing about that.
Very popular.
Yeah, if you want to see how it is, and if you're an urban dweller here in Bloomington and might not know of any other ways to get out there, that's a great way to experience it. You have a busy day in the mayor's office this afternoon. 2 o'clock today, you're going to review the progress of the Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force recommendations. Give us a little preview of what we're going to hear today. Are we going to have some policies? Are we going to have what are we going to hear?
Well, we're going to kind of take this a look back at what Mayor Hamilton said we were going to do August 10th of 2016 on the outside of the library. We're going to go inside today because the weather forecast, which you're in charge of, by the way,
not
is not very good. We don't want to take a risk and try to have the event outside. We're going to have it inside of the library. So a little short of 11 months after Mayor Hamilton announced the task force, we want to talk about what we have been doing since the task force was created, some of the steps that have been taken, a little bit about the most recent steps that were taken. I mean, by most recent, I mean last week. As most people are aware, there were several things that happened on Kirkwood, and I have tried to explain when I talk to people about this very complex issue. This is a very dynamic environment. It's multifaceted. It's complex. It's not just something that the city of Bloomington and our resources can address and work and solve, if you will, all the myriad challenges that go along with people experiencing homelessness, people who don't want to follow common rules and regulations, and then the various subsets of challenges that go along with addiction, which we've seen way too many overdoses due to heroin and spice products in our local market being sold. So we're going to talk about all those things today, trying to rewind and say, here's how it started, here's what we've done, here's what most recently has been accomplished, and by no means do we think this has been solved by any stretch of the imagination. And working with partners, here's what we think are the next logical steps to take as we continue to address this, you know, very difficult and challenging issue for our community. But I hope people recognize some pretty major changes just occurred.
Absolutely. And another major change we've seen at the state level, front page of today's HT, a methadone clinic is expected to open in Bloomington by next summer. So that's something you're going to have to add to your list of things in the future. I don't know how that works and how that is all going to come apart or come together, rather, but we've known in the past, and I don't think this is any, I'm breaking any news here, but Bloomington seems to have the quote unquote services that people regionally need, and this is going to probably add to it.
Well, that's true, and to be honest with you, when we heard the news, we heard it like everyone else did yesterday, and so we had no idea that this was coming down. We looked on the state's website to see if we could find out if there was some announcement there from the governor about this. We looked at all other, our other normal news sources and couldn't find anything. So it was a complete surprise to us that this is going to be another element of our community. And it's too early to tell if that's, you know, there's always some pros and cons to things like this, and then people will have views of it both ways. But quite frankly, we don't know much about it, and so we'll have to wait and learn more as well.
Mick Renheisen's our guest this morning. He's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington. The article goes on to say there's going to be one in Bloomington, one in Lafayette, and it will add treatment programs in Johnson, Vigo, and Allen County. So just, again, pointing out the regions where it is, I guess Vigo would be the closest one to here. So remember, lift with your legs, not with your back, in case you have some heavier lifting going on there. What else?
Hey, one shout out before
please.
We go to trivia.
Good.
I want to shout out to Tim Mayer. I think that
please
if you read the paper today, Tim Mayer, a longtime city council member, has announced his retirement effective at the end of the month. So I think Tim's done with his meetings. I don't think they have any more meetings for him to have to attend.
That savvy veteran made a savvy veteran move there, didn't he?
He didn't. But I just have to say, you know, I've been with the city for 37 years. Tim's been a council member for 34 of those years. And in whatever role I was involved in, whether it was a staff member in parks, a department head, or the deputy mayor, Tim has been great to work with. He's reliable. You can have a conversation with him, an honest, open conversation with him. I think he's pretty fair and balanced about the way he approached things, and very calm demeanor. And I just think that, you know, people may disagree with the way politicians do business, but anyone who's given 34 years of their life to do something for their community deserves a lot of credit. And in Tim's case particularly, he did it with dignity and grace and thoughtfulness, and I think we owe him a debt of gratitude for the amount of time he spent helping our community become what it is today. That's a lot of that has to do with actions taken by council members over the years, and Tim was one of those for a long time. So I just want to thank Tim personally for all that he's given to our community and wish him and Sue the best in retirement. We know we'll see him around a lot at council meetings. I'd kind of be stunned if he didn't show up in the back of the room sometimes.
Right.
Sue was a fixture there as well. It was their date night. Now they actually get to do what they want on Wednesday night. So good for both of them. They've earned it.
That's a well put, Mick, and I couldn't echo that sentiment anymore. From a procedural standpoint, what's next? How is Tim replaced? How does that work? I know life goes on. I don't want to make it like we're pushing Tim off to the side, but the council is at a recess here, as Tim has told us. They'll be back in August at some point. Do they replace him in that time? Do they replace him when they come back? Does he see out the budget hearings? How does this work?
Well, my understanding is that the...
Because he's the parliamentarian. I'd usually ask him how this works, but now,
that's right.
But now he's gone.
Yeah, the Democratic Caucus will find a replacement for Tim, and I don't know what their schedule is to do that. My guess would be they'll try to have that announcement before the business of the council resumes again in August. Obviously, budget hearings are important, and we've had certainly less than 9 members on council meetings before, and votes have been taken with less than a full complement, but I think the Democratic Caucus will work as quickly as they can to fill Tim's vacancy so that the full complement of council members, all 9 of them, can deliberate the issues that are before the community, starting with the budget the week of August 14th.
Big shoes to fill. How about some trivia to wrap us up here on a Thursday?
Yeah, Diane gave me a little potpourri. So,
oh, I like it.
So here you go. Nothing thematic about this, just a little bit of a couple of different topics that we'll cover on the course of these 3 questions. So as part of the city's involvement in the Monroe County Energy Challenge, what is being made available for your next neighborhood block party, kids' summer camp, or school event? Is it A, the energy bus, B, the city's largest street sweeper, C, Bloomington Transit's mega diesel bus, or D, the Bloomington Fire Department's aerial cherry picker?
What was A again?
The energy bus.
I'm going to go with the energy bus.
That is correct. That bus had a recent makeover, and with its new mobile energy lab, it's ready to visit your event with the hands-on activities that demonstrate the power of renewable energy technologies, and it'll give kids the ability to make their own electricity on the energy bike.
So, I saw that pedaling at Touch a Truck, so
yeah,
I was exhausted watching
on the
it.
City website.
Question number two.
These two are tied to the sanitation modernization efforts, so they are thematically involved in that turnover that's about to happen, that transition. How many Bloomington households responded to the Public Works Department's request to select cart sizes for the new sanitation modernization effort? Remember, there's about 15,000 households that get their trash picked up. So answer A, how many responded? Is it 5,000? Answer B is 6,000. Answer C is 7,200. And answer D is 8,200.
Well, let's see. Half is 7,500, so I'll say a little bit more than half. D.
That is correct.
Very nice.
Those last two were very close.
They were. But I would think more would want to be involved in that and less. So that was my theory behind it. They want to determine their trash futures.
They did. 59% of our 15,000 households responded. And here's your final question. What size cart was the most popular?
Oh, that's easy. We've done that 100 times. That's the medium cart. The one
right there
in the middle. I don't even need choices on that.
You
because
don't.
People are smart. They know they're going to start with the medium, and if they have to downsize, or they can do that. You don't want to start with the largest one because you know you'll probably get rid of it unless you have a huge family. So good job by the people responding in that, and I think they're using their noggin on it, and we'll be interested to see how that moves forward.
Yep, cart delivery starts in September. I noticed that I got my card in the mail indicating to expect... that was for another utility was telling us about our meters changing. Smart meters are changing in Duke Energy customers. I don't know if you got that card yet or not, but if you're a Duke Energy customer, you may be getting a meter turnover change out.
Hey, I just want budget billing. That's all I ask for, and that's what they give me. Great job as always. Fairways and greens this weekend. And when does the city tournament start back up? Next week?
I think so.
Yeah, because I know it wouldn't be on 4th of July week. Too many people are traveling. That doesn't make sense.
Weekend, sure.
So we'll need a preview from you next week on the golf.
You got it.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Glass.
Mick
have a good day.
Mick Reneisen, he's a deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington.